Welcome to The Pull Bag. Join us as we dig out our latest comics and discuss them with a rotating panel of the GCRN crew. So sit back and enjoy this week's Pull Bag.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, TF2 and Mike here, and Back Issue Classics, episode 94 for the pullbag, which is Angry Birds Transformers with myself and Ryan the Unnamed Flo Merkley. It's hot in Canada, so, you know, I tried to take out Ryan's fan noise as best I could. In doing so, that made my voice almost echoey and robotic. I've tried every filter, every application I can use in sound in Adobe Audition, and yeah, so enjoy. You know, well, this is a Transformers episode after all, so my voice sounding robotic and echoey kind of fits. Angry Birds Transformers here inside Autobot Lee August. Only on the Geekcast Radio Network's The Pull Bag. Up next. Hello and welcome to The Pull Bag and all things Transformers. This is Autobotly August. This is our second Autobot Transformers Decepticon, whatever you want to call it, month here inside The Pull Bag and all things Transformers in 2017. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me is Ryan and Phil Merkley. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello. And today we get to actually talk about a Transformers comedy, folks. That's right. John Barber wrote a comedy. It's Angry Birds Transformers. Now, I don't know. Some people like Angry Birds and some people don't. Where do you fall?
Indifference. I mean, it's a game. It's not, you know, it's... Mobile games are this weird kind of, you know, middle range for me that... They're not, you know, they're generally not super complex. You know, it's not The Witcher 3 or something like that, but it doesn't need to be. I mean, I prefer my mobile games to be something that I can pick up and, like, play quick and put down quick. And Angry Birds is a good one. It's addictive, et cetera, et cetera. I think people are annoyed at it because, you know, it became a big fad and that kind of thing. And we got the Angry Birds movie, which... was kind of pointless.
It was okay. It's not the worst idea Hollywood has ever had.
But it just sort of exists. It's not good. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It didn't really need to be. And I know there's some people that would probably say that about this book. But to be fair, I mean, for somebody like Barber and the people that worked on this. The Transformers stuff, you know, we talked about it in previous ones, has been so dark. And Barber in particular was coming off of, you know, a trilogy, which is a really dark trilogy.
Which we'll talk about next week. We kind of did this out of order, folks.
Yeah, but, oh, whoops. But anyway,
it's all right.
Either way, we'd have talked about it even if we didn't do a show on it.
Well, yeah.
In any case... You know, he was coming off of a really dark trilogy and needed something to... It just needed, you know, kind of a palate cleanser. And
he needed something to light his darkest hour, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, writers are people, too. You know, I don't have a problem with him, you know, doing that. This is a fun book, but I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into continuity issues or anything like that. It's just meant to be a fun book, and... It's a good way for him to kind of recharge his batteries after writing. I mean, the trilogy that he did, the Dinobot trilogy, was insanely well put together and continuity, et cetera, et cetera. So it's probably, you know, like I said before, it's a palate cleanser and it's probably just relaxing for him to just go do something fun where he doesn't have to worry about, you know, a thousand different things that went before and keeping it in continuity and et cetera, et cetera.
And the thing of it is most of this is G1 continuity, with the exception of the addition of Heatwave.
We'll get into that later. There's some weird kind of choices.
Yeah, I know, and I understand
continuity,
that. Yeah,
but...
and I understand that. I'm just saying, like, I think this series, this four-issue miniseries, was an amalgamation of various G1 things, as well as trying to tie into, you know, that fourth movie. We'll get into it eventually. So... for me, I like Angry Birds. I've liked the different iterations. As I've already said, the movie was okay. I still play Angry Birds Friends. I think I'm the only person on my friends list that still actively plays Angry Birds Friends on Facebook. I mean, I, you know, helped the fad. I've never actually played the Angry Birds Transformers game. I know Beatles Diva has played it a lot of times, and she loves it. She would have been here, folks, but she got con crud from TF Nation, which sucks. So let's hope she gets better, or feels better.
Yeah, if you're at a con, there's, you know, a whole ton of things that, you know, you got to worry about. That's one you get. Not only is there a high chance that, you know, you're going to get ill afterwards, but it's also just down. You know, you go from a place filled with people who are of the same sort of mindset, or, you know, at the very least, they like one or two of the same things mm-hmm. you do. So it's really kind of, it's relaxing. It's a great way to kind of charge your batteries, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you go from that to, like, normal life, which, you know, oh, you like Transformers, what a nerd. I mean, it's not that bad anymore. Trust me, it used to be, being an old man, but it's not the same. You know, you don't get to run around and know that everybody there you could talk to at least, you know, some part of the same interests and that kind of thing without, you know, worrying about anybody making fun of you or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it's a real downer for that. And then, of course, if you get sick, that is just a downer in general.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So, Angry Birds Transformers. Let's get to it. What is the first issue we have?
The first issue, I don't have the titles here. I skipped beyond it. So, full disclosure, I just bought this digitally. I mean, so the series is only 4 issues total, there is a trade for it that you can get. The 4 issues it's on sale right now on Comixology. But generally runs $10 Canadian, $7 or $8 US.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so yeah, it's an inexpensive series.
Yep.
But yeah, I have the digital version, so it's not the same as what I usually do, which is I can flip through while I'm on this. This is not aided by the fact that I finally got around to buying a mechanical keyboard, which... oh, God, are these things wonderful. But unfortunately, it makes podcasting a pain in the ass because holy cow, will you hear it if I start using the keys during the show?
Yeah.
Unless I do it really subtly. I don't think I have on anything we've recorded. I think we've been lucky, so...
No, you've been lucky on the keyboard, I would say. And, you know, I get it. It's hot in Canada in the summertime. I would say the only thing that kind of comes through is your fan.
Yeah, it's just definitely on today because... holy crap, is it humid? What the hell? Anyway. I mean, the first issue... does it even have a title to it? There's a chapter 1 page, but...
yeah, I'm currently looking for it. Just keep going.
No. So anyway, we open with the Autobots and Decepticons. The Decepticons are searching for the Allspark. So it should be noted that this is the first sort of reference to something that's not... G1. This is just sort of a merger. I'm not going to point them out as we go. We'll talk about it at the end, I think. Might be the best.
Absolutely.
Rather than just, you know, picking out what everything's from. But anyway, we have the Allspark. The Decepticons are attacking the Autobots in a ship that looks suspiciously like the Ark. And, you know, Optimus entrusts Bumblebee with the Allspark. It should be noted, by the way, the one thing I want to note from the first page, aside from the art is pretty clearly Livio Remondelli.
Remondelli, yes.
Remondelli, damn it. At least I didn't call him Ravioli this time. I am so bad with his name. If we ever do an interview, I'm going to apologize. Open it with an apology for how many times I've gotten it wrong. Must be a Canadian thing, I don't know. But he did the artwork here. The other thing I want to point out is Jazz. His first line rhymes, so I was briefly really worried that they were going to have him sort of in the blaster or wheelie role of everything he says has to rhyme, but mercifully that didn't last long.
Well, you and I know you know this, but you do remember that Jazz Scatman did do rhymes.
Oh yeah, on occasion, not every line. Like, I have horrible flashbacks to Wheelie from the movie, of course.
Obviously, everybody does.
Yeah, you know. And then, you know, he was in season 3, but at least it's you can just sort of fast forward through his parts.
Yeah.
Oh, especially the Ultra Magnus's birthday. But anyway. let's have an episode with Daniel and Wheelie. I remember even as a kid I hated that. Anywho.
The one line I always remember from Jazz, I think it's from More Than Meets the Eye, one of the three-parters of the More Than Meets the Eye opening three-parter. Into the ocean, let's be daring. Or something about a rusty herring. I don't remember off the
top of my head. Oh, yeah.
That's the one I do remember.
Into the ocean, let's be daring. Ah, shit, I'm not supposed to be swearing. No, that would have worked in the movie for Spike.
Into the ocean, let's be daring. The last one in is a rusty herring.
So the Decepticons attack the Not Ark, or whatever it's supposed to be.
Right.
And we get pages essentially introducing who our Transformer cast is. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of the usual suspects. Prime, for the Autobots, we have Optimus Prime, Jazz, RC, Bumblebee, and Heatwave. I don't know what Heatwave is from. You probably do.
Heatwave is from Transformers Rescue Bots.
As you type it up to try to find out. No, anyway.
No.
For the Decepticons, we have Megatron, of course. We have Starscream, also of course, Soundwave, also of course, Shockwave. Yeah, I'm gonna stop saying of course.
Briefly.
Then we have Lockdown.
Yep.
Which is sort of an interesting one. We get a picture of the other Seekers. Seekers are in the main sort of shot of them. They do not play a part in this. But hey. So Megatron and his crew board the Ark. Starscream goes off to try to go get the Allspark for himself, which, gee, that doesn't seem like something Starscream would do at all. No, wait. He runs into more of our cast. In this case, it's Grimlock and Drift. Drift is in his movie persona, we will say.
Yep.
Which is a nice way to say he is a walking cliche of Japanese culture, and that's not really a good thing, but anyway.
That's not a good thing at all.
That will be the only time I really harp on it, but oof. Stuff like this makes me thankful for Drift and More Than Meets the Eye. But man, every other time he appears, oh. Anywho, he's as bad as what's his name from Mask? Bruce.
Bruce Sato.
Where every time Bruce Sato would speak, it would be some sort of supposed Japanese wisdom.
And it would rhyme.
Even though that's not necessarily where he was from. Anyway, whatever.
We ought to do the Mask comic next after this.
Oh, the new one or the old one?
No, the new
I had
one.
The old one. Weird fact, the old one I had as a kid is most certainly PG-13 at the lowest. And it was not, I remember it as not half bad. But anyway, getting way off topic here. So we continue on. Now we get sort of a page as the Allspark gets lost when Starscream takes a shot at Bumblebee. And we get a page, a split page of the Transformers, and then the Angry Birds universe, and they sort of kind of start merging together or start saying the sort of similar things, and the Allspark flops down into the Angry Birds universe. Now, the Angry Birds universe is very curious because they do all these things without any arms or legs.
Yep.
Which is something I've never really figured about. Like, how do they build anything or... These are questions for another day, though.
Yeah.
So we pick up with them doing what they do, which is the birds are launched into one of the pigs' buildings, which promptly crumbles, possibly due to poor workmanship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fallen over faster than a Confederate statue. So.
Dude. Damn.
I can't help if they had shoddy workmanship. So
somebody said to me, something that their friend said. We as in the U.S. are a country that, you know, would start a war over taking statues down from a previous war.
Boy.
Yeah, I know, right?
So after all this happens, though, so the pigs leave. They have confiscated a number of the eggs from the Angry Birds. As the pigs leave, they come across a smoldering crater in the ground, which is, of course, where the Allspark has landed. And the birds dig themselves out from the wreckage of the building that the pigs were in. One of the pigs makes contact with the Allspark and gains Starscream's body, essentially.
Yep, he turns into the Starscream pig.
Yeah, and then as is the tradition, somebody friggin' texts me in the middle of recording. I hate you people. Who are these? Anyway, none of my friends listen to...
Andrew, leave him alone, damn it.
It's probably not him. Anyway, so... Starscream Pig who points out his name repeatedly, might I add, discovers also that he can change forms. Apparently, they can change forms kind of into whatever they want, because initially he doesn't just turn into a jet. Yeah. Turns into sort of a jack-in-the-box. But, yeah, so they've discovered that this Allspark transforms them. Next, we get a Galvatron pig, and he's in a page with... He's the first one, though. Then we get Soundwave. We get Megatron. Megatron and Galvatron, by the way, are modeled after the movie.
Yeah.
And Lockdown has sort of stuck himself in the form of a toilet, which is about what I feel about the fourth film.
Yeah. That's, yeah, that's about right. I when I was rereading this, I did not even realize it was locked. Like, somebody help me. Why doesn't anybody help? I'm like, what the hell?
So the birds end up coming across them in this format. Two of them collide out of control with the Allspark, forming Bumblebee Bird and Grimlock Bird. Grimlock Bird cannot go 3 seconds without saying his name. This is clearly G1 Grimlock.
Yeah.
And they fight with the Decepta-Hogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to fight them off, and then we get the rest of the birds come across, or well, come to the Allspark, but that's next issue. For now, they just kind of leave, or the Decepta-Hogs. Man, this is tough. Leave. And we go on to chapter 2, which is Age of Extinction.
Before you start chapter 2, what I'm going to say this at the end of every one, but I love that I assume John did this. He Rocky and Bullwinkle'd the ending. To be continued in Age of Extinction or Over Hard? Like, I love that. I love that he made a Rocky and Bullwinkle reference in here.
And there's a ton of egg puns through this. I'm not going to point them out.
No,
because
we can't put all of them out.
There's one every 3 seconds. Yep. As well as, you know, there's the, what is it, Auto Birds? Yes, Auto Birds is the name of the birds when they become a group. I mentioned the Decepta-Hogs already. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we end on the pun. We also end with a shot of one of the birds' eggs sprouts a mechanical arm while they're being covered by, or covered, carried by Soundwave Big. Yeah. So we open with the birds discussing what's to be done. Eventually, after Grimlock runs off, they decide to use the Allspark to change themselves into the Transformer amalgamation thingamajigs.
Yep.
So we get the rest of our cast. They, of course, feature the same ones we saw in the opening.
Yep.
So we get an RC. We actually get Blue Streak, who we didn't see in the opening. Mm-hmm. We get Drift, who spouts more Driftisms, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We get, what's his face? Heatwave.
Heatwave, yep.
Good old what's his face, my favorite Transformer. This is what happens whenever you add characters. I don't know. No, anyway. Jazz is there as well. And eventually, Red decides to become, or decides to touch it, and he becomes Optimus Prime, of course.
Of course, yes.
Should be noted, too, that Optimus Prime Bird is modeled after the movie,
mm-hmm.
despite, you know, Prime originally being modeled after, yeah, G1. But anyway.
Again, it's something we can talk about at the end, but I think they were going for an amalgamation, because I think around the time this was coming out, it was like right as or right before Age of Extinction came out, so...
Everyone's favorite film. The Decepticons come across a tower that rises up out of the ground as they're on it, and it just sort of comes out of the surface of the Earth. And the minions, as in the remaining hogs who haven't been transformed into Decepticons, are concerned that there's something wrong with the planet. Mm-hmm. Later on, they get proven correct.
Yeah.
Grimlock then comes across them, though, and we get back to sort of the fighting.
Yeah, there was a lot of fighting I mean, I know it's Angry Birds and all that, and that's all they do is fight each other, but, like...
Oh, yeah, they're very angry.
Yeah.
For some reason, Lockdown is really strong, by the way. He's able to take out Grimlock. We continue on with sort of recurring jokes here, because Megatron downs Bumblebee and then basically crushes his voice box. And Bumblebee, at this point, goes from... It's mostly just sort of tweeting or squeaking.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a reference to the film Bumblebee, Who Can't Talk.
Yep. Damn you, Barber!
So they continue fighting until the remainder of the eggs sprout more of the limbs we saw previously, mm-hmm. and proceed to walk away, which eggs are apparently, even in the Angry Birds universe, not supposed to do that.
Apparently not, no.
And it's at this point they get a call from Starscream, who ran off earlier, and who points out that Piggy Island is under siege from the eggs. And he points out, slash is amongst, a whole bunch of more of these towers sprouting up out of the island. Presumably that's bad for the ecosystem there.
Yeah. Presumably, yes.
That's the end of chapter 2.
Yeah, chapter 2. To be continued, Revenge of the Fallen, or Egging Them On? Okay, Revenge of the Fallen. Thank God this wasn't out during the last night, because I didn't know what kind of pun that they would do for that.
Could it have been worse than the film?
No, it'd probably be better.
And to be fair, I mean, this is better than Age of Extinction. Anyway, so at this point, the Autobirds and Decepticons finally decide to coexist and work together. You wanted to point it out, but we get the "we must stand as one or all shall fall" reference to "one shall stand, one shall fall" line. Mm-hmm. And they proceed to fight the eggs. Egg robot things. We get more egg puns through all of this, by the way. This is when they really start piling up.
Yep. And the whole point of, well, Megatron Pig's whole point is, because he was originally King Pig, he just wants to eat the eggs. He just wants his damn omelet.
Not too far off of actual Megatron. He always just wants energy.
Yeah, true.
Which they sort of eat kind of thing, or in the case of episode Micronauts, get completely hammered off of. It was a good episode. I showed that to Andrew once, by the way. Andrew, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know, did not grow up in the age of Transformers and didn't believe there was a scene where all of the Transformers get drunk. Decepticons, actually.
Microbots.
Yeah, so anyway. Where was I? So they designed, Optimus ends up breaking them into teams with two Autobots and two Decepticons in most of them, except we get most of them. They only split into two teams. Maybe I should learn to count. Whatever. But counting is overrated. So yeah. They split up. One group is sent to try to get one of the eggs and capture it so they can examine it. And the other group is sent to save Starscream, who just previously we saw get swallowed by one of the towers.
Yeah.
So they attack one of the towers. Blue Streak also gets swallowed. Meanwhile, the other team is having difficulty capturing an egg because Galvatron just basically destroys everything.
Yeah.
Galvatron also manages to smack around Heatwave and just generally be a pain in the ass for everybody. Mm-hmm. Other team, by the way, is also having problems because Lockdown is roughly the same. Isn't particularly interested in actually helping anybody.
Yeah. When Heatwave transforms, when he and Galvatron are having their battle, he transforms into a damn fire flower.
Originally, yeah. He comes back as a fire engine again, but
yeah. I love the art in this. This is so cool.
Yeah, I was going to sum it up at the end. But yeah, the art overall and the entire series is well done. There's an impressive amount of things going on in the background on pretty much every page. And it's very consistent sort of design throughout. So it's well done, despite being a really kind of cartoony style.
Yeah.
So anyway, Heatwave ends up downing Galvatron as he gets knocked into a slingshot. And at this point, earlier, the first team was surrounded by now giant eggs. This team gets surrounded by giant eggs. Meanwhile, Blue Streak has started breaking Starscream out, but they get stopped by a wall, which luckily for them gets opened up by Drift, and while post-RC's blasting, so... So, yeah, everybody escapes, and we sort of end the issue with Starscream is out, and the, well, he finally figures out that the AllSpark is changing the entire planet, or sorry, they call it the EggSpark, I should note. But anyway, it's now draining the entire planet at this point, and... This is bad. Everybody sort of has joined together again, so they're all one group. And we end with another pun, which I'm sure you read, you'll want to read.
To be continued in Hard Boiled or Why Did the Chickens Cross the End of the Road? I laughed all the way through this series. I mean, I know we're going to talk about the fourth issue here in a second, but like, seriously, this is just too good.
So with Soundwave sort of analyzing things, they realize that the EggSpark, AllSpark, whatever I want to call it, just has been draining the planet, and that's where the energy has come to transform not only them, but the planet itself into the towers, and it's not doing the island, or Piggy Island, any good. So they realize that by getting rid of the AllSpark, EggSpark, damn it, I'm just going to call it one or the other. Anyway, everything will go back to normal. So they dispatch Blue Streak and the remaining minions, so the three that weren't changed, to go find their secret weapon. The minions end up double-crossing everybody and just leaving on their own. They do eventually come back, and should be noted. And, yeah, we find out that they're... Their mission was to go find the slingshot, but we find that out not before Galvatron breaks himself free and starts beating the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
Galvatron seems to be, or at least his personality seems to be pretty much molded on Generation 1, just because he smacks everything around and...
Yeah, I would say it's a combination of Generation 1 and maybe ID. When I was reading it, I thought it was a combination of the G1 cartoon and the IDW version. Because the whole thing here is, and you know, in G1, Megatron is Galvatron, at least in the movie and in the cartoon. But obviously in IDW, they're two separate characters. So that's why I felt that it was, you know, more of IDW Galvatron than anything else.
So anyway, with things turning out very poorly, they are saved in a very unlikely fashion by Starscream, who's decided to take the EggSpark for himself and has grown super large. I don't know if this is an intentional reference or not, but it reminded me of issue 50 of the Marvel comics where Starscream takes the underbase for himself and gets super large, although he blows up in the end. Although not before decimating the Autobots and the Decepticons. In the first issue of the U.S. comic where there's a gigantic body count. It wouldn't be the last. But anyway. So, in any case, he finally sort of stops Galvatron, but of course now everybody has to contend with stopping him. Bumblebee takes the slingshot, and after a speech which consisted of one of his whoops being translated... is able to get Galvatron tied up in the slingshot, The slingshot shoots them, or sorry, Galvatron, and by them I mean the Allspark, off of the planet. Apparently so far that both beings travel through the window of the Autobot ship. And we close with the birds and hogs talking about how nice it is, everything's back to normal, while the eggs start sort of sprouting limbs again.
The bumblebee thing when he did the translation, I thought that was hilarious. And then the next panel, he says "woo" again, and then John puts a little note. No, he said everything in the last one. This is just him saying "woo."
Saying "woo" this time, yeah.
That was hilarious.
So as I mentioned before, that's the close. There are four issues in this. There's digitally, there's not a lot of supplemental material, so this is not a super long series.
No.
The supplemental material is really just the other covers, and that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yep. No, like I said, I had fun with this. I thought it was cool. Again, like we already said, kind of like a fun little series, and I like how at the end of it, you know, Livio's arc comes back in for the Transformers stuff, and that's cool. It's an amalgamation of almost everything. It's an amalgamation of the G1 cartoon. With Angry Birds, there's really no... you can clearly see in the very beginning which Angry Bird is going to become which Transformer, sort of.
Yeah, they're kind of color-based, too, so...
Yeah, they kind of... Well, Grimlock isn't really. I mean, that was a little strange, but you had to do something with Hal. Hal is the boomerang bird. What were they going to do? As the egg spark generates on the planet and is, you know, basically pulling it all inside of itself, we see that the personalities de-evolve. Like, at times where Optimus and Megatron are sort of, like, pretty much Optimus and Megatron, no bird about it, later we see that, you know, Red and King Pig kind of come back and all that. Because the power that's giving them the transformations is, you know, on its way out.
Yeah, Red suddenly can't give the Optimus Prime-esque speeches.
It's just so funny. What else do you want to say about this one?
Not a lot. I mean, it is fun. The only thing I wanted to ask, so...
Mm-hmm.
For at least a little bit, the inclusion of G1 here felt a little weird. Because, I mean, if you're going to do a crossover, and this is aimed, I would say, for the most part, at a younger age, the G1 inclusion is a little weird.
Right.
Because G1's kind of, you know, our age. Although, having said that, I mean, I've noticed that, you know, for quite some time, G1 was on Netflix. So I think a lot of kids who were anxious for more Transformers have watched it. Like, my nephew's seen every episode of G1.
It's not now, but it was
no.
a while ago.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe my point's thoroughly off at this point.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. I think at the time, and I would have to go back and look and see when the first issue of this came out to see, you know, which part of whatever year it was out, you know, to see if Netflix still had G1 on there, but you're right. I mean, Netflix has Rescue Bots. They have the 2015 Robots in Disguise. They have Prime. I mean, obviously, Transformers Prime is not really used here, which is fine. This is pretty much, like I said at the beginning of this, it's an amalgamation of G1, the movie universe, and maybe some other small references.
Yeah, it's mostly Generation 1 and the movies.
Yeah.
So, the movies, I'm not a parent, so I have no clue really what age the movies are aimed at.
Yeah. No. We could be here all day trying to analyze that.
I mean, there's so much stuff that I wouldn't put in. I probably wouldn't let the kids listen to a 5-minute discussion on Texas statutory rape law, for example, but it's just me.
Yeah.
So I'm So I don't know, that was a little curious, but on the other hand, you know, I don't feel like it really hurts or it really doesn't hurt things, and I don't think it's a missed opportunity to enhance things, so I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think the thing with including the movie part of the universe, they didn't do, John was not, again, I'm not trying to speak for the guy, but just from what I've read off the, it didn't seem like he was trying to include the more, let's say, controversial points of Michael Bay's Transformers.
No.
Like Megatron crushing Bumblebee's voice box and having the R2-D2 be in here kind of thing, or having the inclusion of movie Drift or movie Lockdown or whatever. Like, they're just little itty-bitty things that, honestly, and I know this is going to be sacrilege to a lot of people, until I actually saw that it was Drift at first, I thought it was Cyclonus. I don't know why I even thought that. But
wow, you're a terrible person.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's awful. What did Cyclonus ever do to you?
America's evil, I'm evil, you know. Just everyday life here in the world. So, with the inclusion of Heatwave, I almost think they should have used the Rescue Bots cast instead of the G1 cast, but I understand why they used the G1 cast, because that's what Livio excels at. I mean, he is the G1 artist when it comes to IDW. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I wish at some point, one of these days, I could play the Angry Birds Transformers game. Sadly, it's not for PC, it's only on mobile, which is stupid.
Just buy a phone.
Yeah, I should.
No, you shouldn't. It's a pain in the ass.
hence why I don't have one. I have a dumb phone. It makes phone calls and sends text messages. That's about it. Anyway. What would you give Angry Birds Transformers 0 to 5?
I don't know. I'd give it sort of a 3 out of 5. I mean, it's a fun sort of series. It just, you know, like I said before, it just kind of exists like the movie, but I understand its importance in terms of recharging, you know, some of the people that worked on it at IDW. So I really don't have an issue with it. I'm not going to harp on it. It's entertaining, it's inexpensive, and it's short. So it does exactly what it sought out to do. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just not going to be confused with Watchmen or something like that. And that's fine. There's no problem at all with that. Not everything has to be a, you know, a long epic
thing.
Yeah, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 as well. It's. I don't want to say it's middle ground, but that's kind of what our middle ground is here at the GCR when it comes to our rating system. The writing from John is excellent. It's funny. It's hilarious. Livio's art is great. Marcello's art is great as well. I think John had way too much fun with Soundwave. The operation insert whatever here. Like, I think he had way too much fun with that, which is cool. 3 out of 5 all around. Alright folks, next week or whenever you're going to hear this, you know, we're going to have the finale for Autobotly August, where Ryan and I talk about Punishment, Redemption, and Salvation.
Which I'm pretty sure we gave it. Oh, I'm not supposed to tell people what we did it. Right.
Wait until they listen to the thing first.
I hope I say the words "you know" a lot less on that podcast, because holy cow, something off with me today. Limited vocabulary.
Well, it is a Saturday.
You know. True.
Yeah.
I've been watching Defenders and I'm half asleep, so.
Oh, God. We'll talk about that off air. All right, folks. Where can the people find you online, Ryan?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at The Pullbag on Twitter, as well as at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Make your great escape into comics and join Joe Reed and myself next month in Sewer Surfing September here inside the Pullbag. And tune in to Ryan and I next week to wrap up the Autobotly August coverage with, as I said, Punishment, Redemption, Salvation, the Dinobot trilogy from IDW Publishing. Make your great escape into comics. We will catch you next time.
just heard the latest episode of The Pull Bag, the GCRN's comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for, and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Send us an email, feedback at geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.